Amen. Well, if you have a Bible with you today, I want to encourage you to open up to the book of Exodus, and we'll be in chapter 20 today. And for those of you, if maybe you're not quite as familiar where the book of Exodus is, it's really simple to find. It's the second book in the Bible right after the book of Genesis. So as you're finding your way there, I just want to share a milestone in my life with you. Yesterday, I received my black belt in apple dumpling making. So, feeling pretty good about that. I've never ate an apple dumpling in my life, but I am a master at making them. So, for those of you, if this is your first time here at Trinity, or if you're jumping in fresh today, first of all, my name is Brent. I have the pleasure of serving the community as the pastor. And over the past handful of weeks, we as a community have been unpacking what we commonly refer to as the Ten Commandments. Now, for most of us, we've had some sort of exposure to the Ten Commandments. It could be through being raised maybe in the church or being part of the church. Maybe you've seen a plaque on a wall somewhere. Or many of us, we've at least seen on the news the arguments that have been taking place about the Ten Commandments in public and should they be removed or not. So I say that to say this, that at some point in our life, many of us have probably heard of the Ten Commandments. Now, if you're like me, when I was growing up, I understood the Ten Commandments to be these religious rules, these religious laws that you better follow or else the man in the sky would get you. But I think that over the past handful of weeks, what we've begun to discover is that the Ten Commandments don't seem actually so much about law as they do about grace. And I know that sounds strange. Ten Commandments, they're about grace. What do I mean when I say that? Well, I think what we've discovered is that the Ten Commandments weren't given to us as threats or as legalism, but rather as God's way of transforming our minds, to give us a new perspective, to give us a godly perspective. See, what they do is they help us live out our life on this earth in relationship with God, and ultimately in relationship with one another, or also, I should say, in relationship with one another. And if you've been with us since we've been unpacking these, you realize that the first three commandments, that's really what they centered on, was this relationship with God, how we know God and what it means to worship God and how to understand God. He even taught us a little bit about ourselves, what it means to recenter ourselves on God. But starting today, we're going to notice that these statements take a turn, where no longer are they simply or only solely, that's probably the best word, are they solely focused on our relationship, kind of the vertical, our relationship with God, but now they begin to focus on our relationship with one another. And really, they teach us what it looks like to live in a society, to live in a way that aligns with how God created this world to be. Because I think we all recognize this. Spend 5 minutes watching the news and we go, there's something wrong with this world. This world is broken. Violence and pain and suffering. Right? No matter where you are in life, you can recognize that. Well, the Ten Commandments help us understand what is broken in this world and what God's intent was for it. So with that, we're going to jump in Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to start with verse number 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, as I said that, my guess is one of two things probably happened as I read that verse to you. Every parent got a little excited when I read that. And every younger member went, ugh. So before you get too excited or before you're tempted to kind of mentally check out, let me say this. I believe that this statement, this commandment is not just one-sided, but that there is something here for both children and for parents. And let me say this, remind all of us that every single person in this room is the child of someone. So this isn't just referring to our youngest members, but I think as we see, this refers to all of us. So let's jump in here. And since I want to be fair, it does seem that there's more maybe parents here today. I know many of our youth are actually just kind of it's kind of the way it landed. Many of our youth are actually on a retreat this weekend, so we can always help them connect with this message later. But I want to start with parents. It's interesting that in this commandment, in this statement, when God speaks of honor, it's not directed to either the father or the mother, but it's directed to both. Which tells us this, that God's intent for the family is to have both a father and a mother working together to pour into the life of their children. Both a father and a mother working together. I would suggest to you that one of the biggest influences on a child's development is their parents' relationship. August 31, 2016, Business Insider published an article that said this: environmental factors play a huge role in whether your kids grow up to be healthy, successful adults. And one of the biggest factors is the relationships of their parents. Of their parents. Parents, we need to deeply consider how our relationships, how our marriages impact our children. Because here is the truth. What you model for your children today is what they will grow up to believe is normal. And will most likely imitate. Which begs this question, what are you modeling for your children? Now, I understand that there are certain circumstances that happen that are outside of our control. And if you're here today and you're going, hang on, I've been through a situation that you don't understand. I understand that. And there is grace. I understand that there are situations that change the dynamics of a husband and a wife's, of the parents' relationship. It could be infidelity, it could be abuse, it could be addiction. So please don't ever hear this as condemnation. We're not saying that at all. We know that those things are not part of God's will for the marriage. Those things are not part of God's design. What we do know is that God's intent, God's design for the family, is to have a mother and a father who are serving together to raise their children. So when I say that to then say, when it comes to honor, I believe this, that honor begins with the parents. Well, how is that? Well, parents, this is for you. Honor begins with you, and number one place it begins with you is you need to demonstrate honor by giving honor. Let me repeat that. Fortunately enough, it's right here on the board, right? We need to demonstrate honor by giving honor. And the first place you demonstrate that honor is with your spouse. If you treat your spouse dishonorably, if you tear them down in front of your children, you are robbing your kids, your children, of a healthy example of honor. I have seen this over and over where people speak negatively about their spouse to their children or at least in front of their children. And you are sowing seeds into that child's life when you do that. You need to set the example of what it means to give honor. The second way that you demonstrate honor is you honor your children by listening to them. You need to honor your children by listening to them. You know, this is the truth. Being young is hard. And I think sometimes as we get older, we forget that. We forget about the struggles. We forget about the peer pressure. We forget about all the things that society tells us when we're young that we think we have to live up to. We forget about the pressure of trying to make our parents proud. And here's the reality. So I'm 39, and I'm recognizing this as I'm raising a 12-year-old and now a 9-year-old. They have pressures on them that I never had. They are being exposed to things that I wasn't exposed to until a much later period in life, where I was older, I had more life experience, and I could handle some of those things, but some of those things I still couldn't handle. They are being forced to wrestle with those things at a much younger age. We need to create an environment where our kids know that they are safe, where they know they can share their hearts, where they can wrestle with these things in a place that they will be heard. I think sometimes as parents, with good intention, we just say, nope, nope, you got to do this, you got to do this. And we don't give our children a chance to really share their hearts. And we do that, we're dishonoring them. Third way that we demonstrate honor is honoring people that you encounter. A while back, Angela and the kids and I, we were driving, we were going somewheres, and the kids do what kids always do. Can we stop and get a snack? So we're like, all right, we stop. So we stop at the little gas station. We go in and we grab, you know, some Gatorade and snacks and all this stuff. And we go up to the counter, and there was a policeman standing there. You could obviously tell that he was, maybe something had happened, because he didn't look like he was just relaxing. He looked like he was on duty. So we paid for our stuff, and I walked over to the policeman, and I said, sir? He was like, yeah. I said, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate everything you do to keep our society safe. And I shook his hand. And as we started exiting the door, my son said to me, why did you do that? And it created a really great opportunity to have a conversation. And I began to talk to our kids about what it means to honor others, what it means to respect those who are in positions of authority, as well as people who put their life on the line to protect us. And I'm not saying that every cop is perfect. I'm not trying to be political. But it was a great opportunity to demonstrate honor to my kids. And you know what my kids now do? My kids now look at police a little differently. Right? Our children are looking to us to model what it means to honor others. Second big statement here. Right? So we have to be an example of what it means to honor others. But as parents, we also have to be a person of honor. This is a reality. You cannot demand honor if you are doing dishonorable things. And I know for some of us that might sting. And maybe our first initial response is to push back on that. But I believe it is the truth. If you are engaging, or if I am engaging in dishonorable behavior, abuse, immorality, maybe even something illegal, we cannot demand honor when we're engaging in those things, because what we're doing is dishonorable. And it's hypocritical to demand honor when we are doing dishonorable things. I was just having a conversation with someone recently. It was a little conference that a few of us went to. I guess it might have been maybe 3-4 weeks now. And they were talking about a pastor who would get up in front of his congregation every week, and he would tell them about living holy lives, and he was having an affair on his wife. He didn't deserve honor because what he was doing was dishonorable. Now, I'm not saying that there's not grace. I'm not saying that there can't be forgiveness. I'm not saying that there can't even be healing and restoration in that marriage. That is my prayer. But he was living a life of dishonor. And as parents, we need to consider, what we're viewing, what we're bringing into our home, what we're engaging in. And are we being people of honor? Because again, we're setting the example for our children. So parents, honor in your home, it begins with you. It begins with you. Now the scripture says here, it says, honor your parents. What exactly does that mean? If you were to look up that word that we translate honor in the Hebrew, it means this, to give weight to, and it implies a heaviness, which is very interesting. It implies a heaviness, meaning it's something that deeply impacts our life or strongly influences us. To honor our parents, while respect and kindness is part of it, what it means to honor them is to acknowledge that they are a strong presence in our life, a presence that influences us, a presence that gives shape to our life. Now, throughout our life, that might look differently. When we're small, honor means simply this, submission. It means submission. That is, as a young child, we are called to submit to our parents' authority. We're called to submit to our parents' leadership. Right? When the parent says, don't touch the stove, there's not a debate there. There's not a, I don't think you know what you're talking. No, your parent, you need to submit to your parent. Why? Because they are trying to protect you. You may not understand it at the time, but they are trying to protect you because they love you and they don't want to see you hurt. It's interesting. I think that as you get older, you start looking back at your life and you start understanding that. I don't know how many times I've had that moment where I've gone, that's why Dad said that. That's why Dad won't let me go there. One time, I got my dad a birthday card. Or maybe it was a Father's Day card. I was, I don't know, maybe like 21. And I got him this card, and he got a big kick out of it. And it said, Dad, when I was young, you knew everything. And then suddenly, you didn't know anything. And now you seem to know everything again. And then you open it up, and it said, what happened to you? My weird sarcastic humor. Right? We need to listen and we need to submit to our parents. But as a child ages, honor begins to look differently. It isn't just maybe submission, but rather it's careful consideration. As a child ages, a parent's authority in their life begins to diminish. And a child's ability to make decisions for itself or him or herself begins to increase. Parents, it is our job to help equip our children with the ability to make good choices for themselves. Which means this, that as our children age, we allow them to begin to have more freedom, to begin to make more choices for themselves. We begin to maybe start stepping back carefully, watchfully, lovingly. And we begin to pour into our children in a different way. That they would be able to get to a place where they would be able to make their own decisions. I've seen multiple times where parents are very authoritative with their kids. And then their kids get to 18 and they go off to college. And they're not ready to engage the world. They're not ready to make decisions that they need to make because mom and dad always made the decisions for them. So parents, we have a job to begin to step back and allow our kids to make their own decisions. And for children, for younger members, we need to listen to our parents. We need to demonstrate that we can make good and healthy decisions. that we're listening again to what our parents are saying and that we're processing that through. And then we're walking or making decisions. When I was a child, my parents told me, this is what you're going to do. That's what I did. At 39, it looks different. At 39, it doesn't look like me just doing whatever my mom and dad say. If that was the case, I would have never moved to Wisconsin because my mom was like, you cannot move to Wisconsin. You cannot take my grandbabies away from me. It was a tough thing. But in that situation, what it looked like to honor her was to show her respect. It looked like not speaking harshly when I disagree with my mom or my dad. It means listening to their wisdom. And it means giving room in my decision-making for their guidance. I'm blessed that I'm at an age that both my parents are still living. And that I can pick up the phone and I can say, hey, Dad, have you ever encountered anything like this? What's your thoughts on this? I feel like I'm supposed to make this decision. And sometimes he goes, whoa. Like, calm down. Like, think this through, Brent. And I got to go, you know what? I never thought about that. Sometimes it even means that I disagree. But I can still honor him and say, I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Maybe even repeat back, this is what I'm hearing you say. But I really, this is why I disagree, or this is why I feel like maybe that's not the route I should go. Now, I believe, as we've been working through these 10 statements, that there is a reason why honor your parents is the first commandment that deals with our relationships with others. I would suggest to you that there appears to be a correlation between honoring one's parents as a youth and developing into a healthy, productive member of society as an adult. Let me say that again in case you missed it. I believe that there is a correlation between honoring one's parents as a youth and developing into a healthy, productive member of society as an adult. When we are young, we learn to be respectful to those in authority over us, i.e., our parents. And that lays a foundation for being respectful to the authorities placed over us later in life. Because it doesn't matter how old you get, does it? There's always an authority over you. There's always someone or something that's guiding you and leading you. Now, for those who are of the faith, we believe first and foremost it is Jesus. But Jesus has created others in authority over us here on this world. Could be a teacher, professor, an employer, right? You don't listen to your employer, what happens? You go hungry, right? Could be the government. There's certain things the government tells us is right and wrong and that we can't engage in. And it would seem that those who reject these positions of authority at a younger age tend to struggle with positions of authority later in life. God doesn't want us to be there. Now, I'm not saying it's 100%. You know, if, man, that kid was a hellion when he was young, he's going to be this. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but there does seem to be a correlation. And God doesn't want us to struggle. God doesn't want us to go through life, wrestling, pushing back rebellion, or being rebellious. God wants us to be able to engage the mission. And that begins in our homes, of honoring our parents. So I want to give you three quick ways that you can live into the fifth commandment regardless of your age. So if you are in this room and you are 12 or you are 87, here's five ways that you can live into it. First and foremost, listen and value your parents' influence. If you're a parent, you know this, that being a parent is hard work. And if you're a younger member, you may not have recognized this yet, but your parents are smarter than you. Not meaning that they have a higher IQ or they have a better education or they understand technology yet or better, because we know that's probably not likely. When I lived in Michigan, my mom, like at least once a week, was like, "Brent, I broke my computer. I need you to come over." And I'm like, "Okay, when the Nigerian prince says he wants to give you $10 million, you can't press the link. He's not really going to give you the money." "Well, he sent me an email." Some of you have dealt with that one. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? The reason why your parents are smarter than you is this: because they've lived longer than you. That's why Scripture tells us to honor those who are older than us. Our elders, as Scripture refers to them, that the older men should pour into the younger men, and that the older women should pour into the younger women. And that's regardless of age. That's not just talking about, right, a 10-year-old and its parent, but for all of us. I need older men pouring into my life, helping me, guide me. Because, you know, every step I take is a step I've never been to before. Every new season of life is a season of life I've never experienced. We're moving into the teenage years. Please pray for me. There's this old saying, and it says this: a smart person learns from their mistakes, but a wise person learns from the mistakes of others. A lot of the things that parents try to instill into their children, a lot of the things that parents try to guide their children, maybe even tell their children don't, is because they're trying to save them from the pain that they have encountered in life. And they want something better for their kids. So for all of us, we should listen. Secondly, we can demonstrate respect, both in our words and our actions. I believe this, that you can disagree with someone and still show them honor. You can believe someone is dead wrong and still show them honor. It's about how we communicate that disagreement. You know, I think this is one of the things that separates Christians apart from the world. Because I think we've all noticed this, right? Again, 5 minutes on the internet reading some news columns or 5 minutes watching TV, and you know this, we've lost this in our society. If you disagree with someone, you're supposed to just attack them and ridicule them, rip them down and spread malice about them. But it shouldn't be that way for a follower of Jesus. We can show respect to those that we disagree with. And it's all about how we speak in what we do. If we sigh and we roll our eyes, if we make accusations, if we ridicule people or tear them down with our words, then we're not showing them honor. And then thirdly, extend grace. I've spoke with so many parents who have told me, "I just wish I could go back and do it differently. Oh, why did I handle that situation like that? Oh, I shouldn't have said, I said that in anger. I said that in frustration. If only I could go back and change it." To all of us, if you have a parent, you are a child. We have to show grace to our parents, because parenting is hard, and we make mistakes along the way. I think of one person in particular who none of you guys know. They live in a different state, so don't try to guess. Who is kind of middle-aged now, who went through some tough times in their home. Mom and dad made mistakes. But that person today, and let me say this, it wasn't anything like sexual abuse or anything like that. It's just, parents had a hard time understanding this child. And acted very strictly with that child. And it was very punitive. I think that's the best way to word it. And that child today, you know, 40-something years later, still every day carries those wounds because they can't forgive. They can't forgive their parents. And I've watched as this person has destroyed relationships around them because they're just bitter and angry. I got the raw deal. That shouldn't have happened to me. My friends got too. And the only person that person is hurting is themselves. We have to learn to forgive. And I understand that different situations call for different consequences. Did a message on that a while back. You can go and you can listen to that. But we got to learn to forgive. So I believe this. James actually teaches us this, that we shouldn't just be hearers of the word, but we should be doers of the word. So just as last week, I gave you a little bit of homework, which was to go out and do something, right? To fill yourself, to relax, to engage the Sabbath, which I've already heard some stories of people who have said, I took your advice, and I went, and this is what I did. And I think that's amazing. Well, we're going to do something similar to that today. To every child who's in this room, regardless of your age, I'm going to encourage you this week to look for a way to honor your parent or parents. Maybe it's simply this. Maybe it's just you going to them and telling them that you love them, that you appreciate the sacrifices they are making or have made for you. Maybe sharing with them how their guidance has impacted your life. Maybe if you're older, right, maybe you pick your parent up and you take them out to dinner and just love on them. Whatever it is, try to honor your parent this week. And to every parent here who has a child, I want you to look for a way that you can honor your child by pouring into them. And this especially if you have a younger child at home. Let's be honest. It's really easy for family time to become TV time, right? To become iPad time, where it's just kind of like we just engage our electronics and we're not really spending time together. And don't think that I'm immune from this. I know how easy that is, man. It's like 8 o'clock at night, and it's just like, I just want to veg on the couch, eat some popcorn, watch a little TV. But maybe this week we would be deliberate. Maybe we would turn that TV off, and we would spend some quality time with our children and just love on them, encourage them, and communicate with them. Ask them what's going on in their life, what's going on in their world. Is there anything that they need to talk to you about? And if you're here and maybe you don't have a living parent or maybe you've never had children, it's tempting to go, well, this doesn't apply to me. But I think it does because there are a lot of children in our community who need a good role model, who need a mentor in their life. And as followers of Jesus, we have a call, right, to engage the mission of making Jesus' name known. So I want to encourage you, if you're tempted to go, well, you know, my parents have passed or I've never had children, I don't really know what I would do. Look for a way. Maybe there's someone in your neighborhood, an elderly person who you could bless and you could help. Maybe there's a child that you could come beside and be a positive role model for them. Whatever it is, do it. So that way, and I quote, our days may be long in the land. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you, God, that you speak to us, you share your word with us so we can know how you created this world to be and how, God, in the midst of brokenness, we can help bring redemption to this world, engaging your mission. And Lord, we understand that part of that is what our home life looks like. For husbands and wives to be loving and respecting one another, for parents to be modeling honor in their home to their children, and for children to be honoring their parents by submitting and surrendering their will to their parents' will. And then as they grow, allowing their parents' influence to give weight to their life. So Lord, help us to live into that. Lord, we're broken people and we struggle with that every day and we fall. God, as we do, we ask for your grace to forgive us. Help us, Lord, to be strong enough, to have enough courage to admit our faults, to repent to those that we need to repent to. And Lord, to re-engage each and every day the life that you've called us to. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you that through you, through the cross, we have life, not condemnation. We have grace. And Lord, that you surround us with mercy. So Jesus, we pray this in your holy name. Amen.